take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 6 tonight. John chapter 6. My sermon will not be lengthy, but if you'll just turn to John 6 quickly, I'm going to talk to you. I've entitled the sermon, Why Do Christians Turn Their Back on God? Why do Christians turn their back on God? John chapter 6, find verse number 65. John 6, verse 65. And if you'll stand with me, please, out of respect to the Word of God, we're going to read three or four verses. Let's not talk now, but listen. John chapter 6, verse number 65, the Bible says this, "And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe, and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Notice there in verse number 67, Jesus asked the question, Will ye also go away? And let me pray. Father, bless us tonight. Help me to help someone. Lord, many people leave their service to God. They leave the church. They leave their Christianity behind. Somehow tonight, might we head off that mistake in somebody's life by the teaching of the Scripture. Holy Spirit of God, protect us by what is taught tonight, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The story is, Jesus had watched a multitude walk away. And the Bible says, after a multitude had walked away from him, he turned to his 12 disciples. Now, who were these 12 disciples? I would maybe guess on who was there, but when you consider the disciples and the disciples, many became apostles. Who was he talking to? Well, Peter was probably there, and Andrew, James, the brother of John. John then was there, and Philip, Thaddeus, Bartholomew. Thomas was probably there. James, that's the second James, they called him James the Less. Matthew, Simon, the brother of Thaddeus, and Judas was there. Now, we do know that Judas went astray. But boy, I'm tell you what, when you listen to all those names, those are big hitters. Those are great, great men. I would say at 11 out of those, the 12 names that I just read to you, they were what you'd call the cream of the crop. Now, you got to picture what's taken place. A multitude of people have walked away from Jesus. And it wasn't that they just left where they were meeting to go home and to come back later. These were people that were straying, moving away from Christ. And Jesus turns to the 12 and he asks that question, Will ye also go away? Now, that really affected me. When I got to thinking about what was said there, if he asked the best that question, wouldn't it be smart for you and I to be real careful with that question since we're not the best? I mean, if Jesus turns to the best on the face of the earth and says, Are you also going to leave me? My, that scares me. I don't rank with the best. I sure would want to be careful. I got saved when I was 16. I've watched them walk away by the thousands. And I'm not trying to picture anybody's face in my mind. But I would say any of you that have been around the right kind of a church any time at all, you've watched them leave Jesus by the thousands. I do not know what condition I'll be in at the end of my journey. I may be beat up. Who knows what it'll be like. I would just like to figure out how to be faithful to the end. I don't want to be famous. I just want to be faithful. I'd just like to make it to the end of my journey and to be able to say I stuck with Jesus to the end. Boy, I've seen them leave by the thousands, and so have you. Preacher, can you imagine how big our church would be if they all stayed? Wow. But they come and they go, and they come and they go. I'm glad I don't let the devil use that to convince me it's not worth it, because it's worth every bit that we put into it. But I will tell you, somebody sitting right over here, you won't be in church next year. Somebody sitting in the center section, you'll be gone. There's somebody sitting over here. There's probably many somebodies in here. You're here today, gone tomorrow. It's sad. No wonder Jesus turned to them and said, "Will ye also go away?" I wish that you would want to last, and I wish it wouldn't be said of you that they went away. Hey, let me ask you this. Will ye also go away? Will you be the one that'll quit on Jesus? Will you be the one that'll quit on His New Testament church? Are you the one that is going to be history? I hope not. As always, my sermon's not complicated. I'm just going to tell you some things that I think I know why some of them went away. And I'll tell you what I think might have caused it. What are the reasons? Why did they turn their back on God? Why would Jesus turn to the best of the best and say, "Are you going to leave too?" I think there are some common reasons why people turn away from God. For instance, I think they went away because of His teaching and preaching. Because of His teaching and His preaching. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 2, the Bible says this, "Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering in doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." I'll promise you this. There are people that will walk away from the right kind of a church and that will walk away from Jesus Christ because of the teaching and the preaching. There's no doubt about that. If you preach the Bible, "Thus saith the Lord," people don't want to hear what God has to say. That doesn't work into their program very well. People don't like the idea of holy living. You know what, people? Most people today are more than willing to accept the gospel, which is a free gift from God. Salvation's free. All you have to do is receive it. And there are a lot of people who say, "I'll take the free salvation, but you can have the holy living. I don't want that." So we'll watch people get saved by the thousands. You say, "Preacher, do you think they're sincere?" Well, I don't know how I would judge sincerity, but if somebody prays and asks Jesus into their heart, they have the faith that it takes to be saved. I will assume then that they got born again. And I will promise you, though, there are many people, they get saved, they'll come to church, they'll hear the Bible is used, they'll hear it taught, or they'll hear it preached, and in just a service or two, they figure out, uh-oh, now God wants something from me. I'm more than glad to receive Jesus as Savior because I want to go to heaven, but I don't think I want to have to give anything back. I don't want to change my life. And that's sad. When preaching convicts us, and you all have heard me say this before, I wish we could always leave the church service having that fuzzy feeling. I wish we could have all sang Kumbaya and just had a fluffy time. But every once in a while, the preacher needs to get up and remind you there's a thing called sin, and it'll ruin your life. It destroys our country. It destroys our children. It destroys our families. And God said we're to live godly in this present world, and we're to separate ourselves from the world. And boy, you start saying things like that, and people say, "I came to hear music and I wanted to see a puppet show, but this preaching stuff, you're making me feel bad about myself." That's because we're sinners. When preaching convicts, they run. If I were you, I'd be careful. Will it be the preaching that you use as an excuse? Will ye go away also? Because of the preaching? Because of the teaching from the Word of God? People have been exiting the right kind of churches for a long time. And I mean, if Jesus would say to the cream of the crop, "Will you go away also?" I'm going to guess you and I might want to be pretty careful. Because if some of the best leave because of the preaching and teaching, is there not a chance that you and I, who are a bit more anemic than a Peter and a bit more anemic than a John or a Philip, isn't it possible that we too could be offended with the old time religion and the old time preaching and the old time doctrines of the Bible? Are we going to be the ones that one day have ourselves in such a sorry condition that we can't take the teaching and preaching of the Word of God, so we leave? We leave. But I think one of the reasons that they went away is because of the teaching, the preaching. I think one of the reasons they went away is because of the fear of men. The fear of men. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 25 says this, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Here the Bible tells us that the fear of man is a snare. That's a trap. Don't you let the devil trap you. But I will promise you, the fear of man, it hurts a lot of people. There are people that walk away from God and walk away from the right kind of church because they are scared to death of the people around them and what they might think. I'll tell you, there's a lot of miracles here at our church. One of the great miracles is that you are all willing to sit in this auditorium packed full without any elbow room. You say, what's the miracle about that? People don't like people well enough to want to sit by them. Really? Am I telling the truth? Well, I thank God you're willing to come. Because it's almost, there's this fear of, it's human claustrophobia. I love you, but get away from me. It's that way. But wait, that goes even further. Let me tell you, have we not watched hundreds and hundreds of people come to our church, get born again, come to a service or two? And I'll tell you, they weren't afraid of me and they weren't afraid of you. They were afraid of the people that they used to hang with, that they used to run with out there in the world. When they started listening and they started learning that they needed to change their life, they became afraid. They became afraid of their old buddies and their old friends and the cronies down at work and the kids at school. And what would their family think? And they retracted themselves because they feared man. They were afraid to be associated with Jesus Christ. And we're not just religious here, see, where there's more to it than that. There is a little stigma that goes along with being a member and associated with the old time religion. Some people can't handle that. Then it's, I don't know, what is society? To me, society is the people out there. What the people out there believe and what the people out there are like. There's all sorts of people that would still be in church today, but they were afraid to go out there in that nasty world and be different and live different and act different and be associated with the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. Yes, your pastor's loud. Yes, sometimes he's pointed. Yes, we're different. But they were different a long time before we were different, and the Bible has been preached through the generations. And look, don't become afraid of man. Because if you become afraid of man, if you become afraid to be a Christian down at work, if you're afraid to be a Christian within your neighborhood, if you're afraid to be a Christian around your family, if you're afraid to be a Christian at school, I'll tell you something, you'll start retracting yourself from Jesus Christ and the pure religion that He wants you to live. They went away because of their fear. Hey, new Christian, kindly be a Christian in the presence of those people that you say, it's new to them that I'm a Christian. You go ahead and be a Christian. And so, you know, we all went through that. I remember when I first got saved needing to tell some of my friends, really I needed to tell them they were crazy. I began to realize, goodness, some of these people at my public school are nuts. But you know, I had to take that stand, and it was scary. But I'm not, I have no remorse about the fact that I had to say to some friends, I'm sorry, we don't see eye to eye anymore. I'm born again. There's a new life that I'm going to live. I'm glad I did that. I wasn't nasty. I didn't do it arrogantly, but I did it. And I'm glad that I did. And by God's grace, I'm still in church. I'm still in the right kind of a church. But they went away. Jesus asked the question, will ye go or will ye also go away? Well, could I ask you, will you be the one that the fear of man affects you? You know, when we were referring to the fear of man and the new Christian and those people out there that are afraid, we all say, yeah, that's right. Wait a minute, how about you? How about those of you that are already cowards at work? You already laugh at the dirty jokes because you want to fit in. You're already going down to sip a martini or two with the big shots because you don't have the courage to say, I don't drink. You're a married man and you're checking out the women with the other guys at the factory because that's what we all do. And you might be ostracized if you say, that's not pure, that's not right. Hey, will ye go away also? I noticed something else, I think, probably, that affected them. I think they went away because they couldn't handle the teaching and preaching. I think they went away because they had a fear of man. Thirdly, I think they went away because of their love for the world. Their love for the world. I'm going to read to you from 1 John chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 15 and 16, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. I tell you what, it's hard to accept, but we may have to. There are some people that love being worldly. They love being worldly. They love the thrill that sin brings their flesh. They want the carnal high that the world offers. They don't want to have to give that up. Oh, there are people that will get saved, but they don't want to clean up their lives. Why? Because the flesh and the carnal life provides a certain tingle to the body, to the mind, to the ego. They want that. Even if God said, no, I would lie to you. You go out and smoke a joint, you'll get a buzz. You might laugh about it and you might enjoy it some, but I've got news for you. Even if you did enjoy it some, it is still wrong and it is sin. But there are people everywhere that want the thrill of the flesh. They want the thrill of being carnal. They want the thrill of being in the world. I'm saved, but I'm going to live it up. And nobody's going to take it away from me. And I've got to tell you, I've been doing what I do for a long time. I used to scratch my head and said, what are they thinking? And finally, I just faced the truth. They want to be worldly. They want it. They want to be immoral. They want that. That's what they want. Can I recommend something to you? Jesus asked the question, will ye go away also? There are people in here. You will make the conscious decision. I know it's wrong. I know I'm not supposed to do it, but I want it. I want the thrill of it. I want the high of it.
I want the physical tingle that I get from it, even if it's wrong.
Let me warn some of you that have been reared in good Christian homes. There are young people under the sound of my voice. You've been brought up in a home where you've been taught morality. You've been taught sobriety. You've been taught respect. You've been taught the right way to live. You better be very, very careful, because there may come a point when you've decided you're bored with the clean Christian life. You're bored with it. You're tired of being told to be moral. You're tired of being reminded of the importance of virginity. You're tired of being told that you ought to stay sober. You're tired of being told that you ought not drink and smoke and cuss, and you shouldn't be giving yourself to the boys and to the girls. And I've watched many a young person say, you know what, I'm tired of that. I'm bored with that. I'm going to go do what I want. They do it all the time. Oh, but wait, it's not just young people. Let me warn some of you adults. If you're married, you stay true to your mate. So I'm just a little bit bored with it. We've been married for a long time. I don't tingle like I used to tingle. It's not as much a thrill as what it used to be. My husband, he's not as attractive to me. My wife is not as attractive to me as what they used to be. Well, let me explain something to you. It does not matter. You are to stay true to them. But I've watched people. I'm bored with it. And I know, I've been in church all my life. I've been taught, I've been trained, I've heard the best preachers. I've been taught from the Bible. My mom taught me, my dad taught me, my preacher taught me. I want it. And I'll have it, and I'll risk everything so I can have a personal, carnal, fleshly thrill. Because everybody else is going out there doing it. Why not me? I think some people leave him because they want to be in the world. Be careful. Don't let that be you. Let me give you something else. I think they went away because of a thing that's called procrastination. Procrastination. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." It's one of the biggest tools the devil uses. Procrastination. You say, what does that word mean? Putting it off. Maybe a sincere intent for tomorrow instead of today. I think there are all sorts of Christians who say, you know what, preacher? I think I'll sell out to God in the future. I plan to get right with God eventually. I see the importance of prayer, and I'll begin to pray someday. I'll read my Bible. Someday I'm going to do that. I'm going to become faithful to church, you know, eventually. I'll live right eventually. I'll give up all those sins that are in my life. I would guess if there are some in here that say there's a variety of things I don't do because they're wrong, yet there are others in under the sound of my voice doing wrong, knowing you're doing wrong. But if I talk to you about it and you were sincere, you would say, well, I don't plan to do this the rest of my life. I plan to get this straightened out. So what you're doing is you're procrastinating getting right with God. But you plan to eventually be faithful and eventually read your Bible and eventually pray. Most eventually people get away from God altogether. Because if the devil can't get you to totally give up on God today, he just wants you to delay your commitments. Delay it. Put it off. And so, I think people go away because of procrastination. Again, I would give everybody under the sound of my voice the credit and say, I think there are things in your life that should not be there. You probably do not intend to live wrong the rest of your life. So you probably have some sort of a get right with God schedule. The best time to get right with God is right now. Because every day you delay, the devil says, I got him another day. closer and closer to the final destination, which is away from God and the church completely. And so, why did they go away? I think they went away because of teaching and the preaching. I think they went away because they fear men. I think they went away because of love for the world. I think they went away as a part of a procrastination process that they allowed in their life. And I don't know why all of them went away. But the next point, I hope you'll listen to me for just a moment more and I'll be done. Most of them that went away knew about the weakness that drew them away. But they didn't do anything about it. They knew about the weakness that drew them away. And they didn't do anything about it. I'm going to tell you a quick story. I won't obviously use any names. What I think was the greatest young pulpiteer anywhere in the United States of America in the 1980s, I heard him preach. I was amazed. I thought, man, he commanded the attention of thousands. I thought, whew, there is your next generation powerhouse. I heard him preach a sermon. And in that sermon, he made a statement. He said, I have studied myself. He said, and if I fall, I will fall in the same area that David, the giant slayer, fell. Amazing. 5 years later, he did. In the very same area as David. I'm going to guess those of you that are of any age at all, you already know what area you're going to fall in. Because you already know what your weaknesses are. Psalm 119:59 says, I thought on my ways. You probably already know what weakness. I mean, if I said to you, write down the top two weaknesses and what's going to take you out if something's going to, I would guess many of you will guess the exact thing. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves. See, if you leave God, what would you speculate would be the cause? 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, but let a man examine himself. What temptation tends to get the best of you right now? Lamentations chapter 3, verse number 40 says, let us search and try our ways. You know what? You know what you struggle with. You know what your problem is. You could probably predict what's going to take you out. So the question is not only will you go also or also go away, but it's also you can even tell us why. I know what my weakness is. Say, what do? I run from it. I run from it. Why? I don't want that to take me out. Let me ask you a question. Don't you know your weakness? I'm going to guess you do. You know what you fall at over and over and over again. You know what goes on in your brain, the privacy of your mind. You know. You could probably predict what would take you out. If I were you, I'd be running from it. I'd stop playing with it. I'll stop toying around with it. Jesus asked the question, will you also go away? And remember, he wasn't asking a bunch of mealy-mouthed, whiny crybabies. He was asking his special forces men that he had gathered around him. And I'm going to guess, if he was trying to get the best, the attention of the best, then those of us that are of the least
we better really be on guard. We better really be on guard that we don't let the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God offend us. We better really be on guard that we don't develop a fear of man, but we stand for God. We better really be on guard to control our passions so that we are not out to get what we can out of this world. We better be on guard not to procrastinate our relationship being developed like it should with God. And then, you just better be on guard for you know what. You know what. Don't let it get you.
So I ask the question this evening. Will ye also go away? Even after a sermon like this, there'll be someone, and give them 30 days. Someone in this room, 30 days, they will be gone. Out of God's will. Let's not let it be you.